Hi again. Hey, this is Brother Scott. And, there we go. Had it upside down. You know, we've been talking about different things in Scripture, and there's been a lot of confusion. A lot of educated people, and I'm not meaning this in a demeaning way, but a lot of educated people are having the hardest time in understanding their Bibles. I mean, okay, let's use, for example, let's say somebody comes along and they say something to you, and then they go to somebody else in a different time, same person, but they go to somebody else in a different time and they say something a little different. Mind that now. So what they told you is not what they told that person. Is that right? So, and what they told that person is not what they told you. Yet, you can agree with me that that's not the same. However, when it comes to getting into Scripture, people want to take what Christ told the 12, and then what Christ told Paul, and just put it all under one cover and say it was all the same thing. There's only one problem with that. If what the circumcision preached is completely the same as what Paul preached to the uncircumcision, so what Peter, James, and John preached to the circumcision is supposedly the same thing as what Paul preached to the Gentiles, why would the risen Christ need to come back and call another apostle just to send him to the Gentiles if what, I don't know, Peter and the boys is preaching is completely the same thing? Why would you need to, why would you need to send somebody else out to say the same thing? If it's all the same thing, then why would you need somebody else? So, I wanted to read a little bit here in Matthew chapter 10. Now, what do we have going on here? Okay, so, he basically had called the 12 disciples unto himself, and he gave them power. Brother Steve up in Ohio said, he gave them superpowers. They had the Wonder Twin powers activate to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Okay, but what does he puts a limitation on his disciples, though. What was that limitation? Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, right off the bat, first thing sticks in my mind is, I'm a Gentile. So, I'm going to go on a limb here. I mean, just because I was circumcised the eighth day because my mom was an over-religious person, that still don't help. So, go not into the way of the Gentiles. So if Peter and Paul, according to what everybody believes and says, is preaching the same message, why did Christ just say, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not? And the ye is a plural distinctive to the 12 disciples. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow. So, if it's all the same thing, why would... See, that's why I asked the question. A person says something to you and then says something to somebody else. That's not the same thing. So, let's run over to Matthew chapter 15. Okay. Now here we have a woman from Canaan, and she's come unto him, and she's called him and says, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed of a devil. Now, this is a Canaanite woman. She's not really what you call a Jew. So, Christ can't go to the Gentiles. Because he just, remember now, five chapters before, go not into the way of the Gentiles. So, what we got here going on? And it says in verse 23, but he, and that being Christ, answered her not a word. And I asked this the other day, somebody, and I talked to Mike Greer, and I mentioned it to him. I think I might have mentioned it to Brother Andrew, too. Anyways, so you find a time machine, and you go back to this time period, and the Lord's in his earthly ministry, and you want to go back, and you want to thank him for his sacrifice at the cross, and you want to thank him for saving you by grace through faith. Now, if you show up in this time period, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak to you? And before you answer that question like a typical American, think about it. If he's in his earthly ministry, he hasn't went to the cross. And if he hasn't went to the cross, he can't talk to you because you're a Gentile. So, again, here's the question. Hello, rich American preachers. If Peter and Paul are teaching the same thing, why is there a difference here? And I haven't even went nowhere. I'm still in Matthew, and there's a difference. So it says, and he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him. In other words, they were pleading with him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's getting on our nerves, Master. Can't you just make her go away? But he answered and said, I am sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, if there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, then why would he say that? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. See, here's the thing. He didn't go, did he? He didn't go lay hands on her, did he? Her daughter. He didn't go and travel to see the daughter, did he? He just said, be it unto thee as thou wilt. So, what's wrong with that? He didn't go because the girl's a Gentile. See, there's a difference here between Jew and Gentile. Now, let's run over to Romans 8 real quick. Romans 8. No, I'm sorry. Romans 15. I've been going since 5 o'clock this morning, and it's almost midnight. Wow. I did it again. Okay. Romans 15 and verse 8. Now, here's Paul writing to the church, the body of Christ. Remember now, if Paul and Peter are teaching the exact same thing, why are we even doing this? Now, I say that Jesus Christ was, is that present tense? Was. Think back to your early grammar lessons in school. Is, are, was, were, have, has, had. What's the tense of the verb? Past. Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. That's the Jews. Was not a minister to the Gentiles. So, well, how can you say that? Because they don't say it in Scripture. It says it was a circumcision, a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Stop. It's not the same thing. The same thing is not being written to the Gentiles, just as the same thing is not being written unto the Jews. The Jews were under the law. We're not under the law. So, let's look at Ephesians 2. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians. There we go. Ephesians chapter 1, and chapter 2 falls after chapter 1. And let's see. I need to get a pair of glasses. Verse 12. That at that time, what time? Times past. That at that time, ye. Who's the ye? He's talking to the church, the body of Christ. But at that time, there was no church, the body of Christ. So, what was any Gentiles that are in the body of Christ? Well, he says right here, that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Now here's the thing. Think about this. Hello, churchianity, Christendom, Confuseology 101, however you want to say that. If Peter and Paul preach the same thing, and there's no difference whatsoever, absolutely none, how can you get around this verse right here? From the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, see, but now, something changed, something happened. But now, in Jesus Christ, ye who sometimes were, here we go again, is, are, was, were, have, has, had. Tense of the verb. Were, far off, are, here we go again, tense of the verb. Made nigh. And nigh is an Elizabethan word. It's an alternative to near. So, made nigh by the blood of Christ. So, if what Christ told his disciples in Matthew 10 and Matthew 15 is what he told the Canaanite lady, if all that is exactly the same as what Paul is teaching and what Paul is writing about, wouldn't it all sound the same? Wouldn't it all say the same thing? But it's not, is it? Okay, now, we saw right there that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Romans 15:8. Now, how about we do this? Let's run back to Romans. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 11. Now, a lot of the grace people sit there and say, well, there's nothing in Romans 11 that you can use for anything, because it's all for Israel. That's true. It is. However, let's look at this. Now, we're looking at a couple of things here. Just bear with me on this. Romans 11, verse 3. And I hope I've got my references right. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men and have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. We're dealing with the description of a person that's going to go through a lot of suffering. Somebody that's going to be sent. Now surely, this person is going to go through a lot of suffering. It's going to be sent. Surely they would have the same message. Now, let's run over to chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Love the Romans. And let's look at verse 16. That I, okay, something's changed here, hasn't it? We're dealing with something personal. that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to everybody. Is that what it says? It says to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought, W-R-O-G-H-T, which means powerfully brought forth, wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. D-E-D. D-E-E-D. So, the suffering servant comes forward and he is the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, again, I'm trying to drive this home. If Peter and Paul is preaching the same thing, like Joel Osteen and John Hagee and Ruffalo Dollar and everybody else says that they're teaching. Oh, and you got to wear your prayer shawl. If these men who are making all this money say that Peter and Paul are teaching the same thing, why am I going through Scripture, doing like Isaiah, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Why is it a little? Because it don't take very much, and you find sometimes in comparative studies, things are not always exactly the same. Sometimes things actually are not very hard to prove. Now, let's run to Acts 26. Acts 26. I do that sometimes. My mind travels. I'm getting old. Okay. Verse 17. Delivering thee from the people. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Look at verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Does that sound like the same thing that Peter, James, and John was told to do? I mean, yeah, they were told to go to Jerusalem, and then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. But this don't sound exactly the same, does it? It sounds different. Well, huh, as my granddaughter would say. To open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Does that sound at all like John 3:16? I mean, come on. Does that even sound like John 3 at all? Because if you believe that this is all the same, I'm afraid you're going to have to go back to grade school. I'm serious. This is not the same. But the reason I'm doing this, I'm just trying to get anybody out there that is having problems understanding their Bible, trying to get somebody out there to pay attention, somebody to listen, because we're running out of time. Seriously, we're running out of time. And if you haven't trusted Christ, we're not in a room. There's nobody looking. You don't have to slip up your hand and nobody's looking, because that's a lie. There's always somebody looking. So, all you have to do is with your heart just simply trust Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. He did it all just for you. And all you got to do is put your trust, your confidence, your whole heartfelt faith that Christ did it all for you, because there's nothing that you can do to impress God to let you into his heaven. And I borrowed that from Brother Mike Greer, by the way. And that's a good point. Why should God let any of us in his heaven? Why? What can we possibly do of ourselves that we can convince God to let us into his heaven? Well, there's nothing that we can do to convince him, but we can put our trust in and on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and him alone, and God in no wise will refuse that or reject that. I started saying refuse or reject. I've been going since 5 a.m., so I'm probably getting a little, I don't even know what the word is, but I'm probably getting there. So, I'm about ready to sign off on this. So, as they used to say back in the 60s, same bat time, same bat channel. Anyways, this has been Brother Scott. Thank you for watching. Please, 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 get in a King James Bible, please. King James Bible, and rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Have a blessed day.